Welcome today to an interview series with outstanding professionals. I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with Daniel LeBlond, award-winning student researcher working on the Imagine Cup competition at Carleton University. Daniel, you're leading the world to your innovative, award-winning research work. Thank you for sharing your work and experiences with our audience.
Thank you for taking your time to speak with me today.
So, Daniel, what factors were catalysts for your team's interest in the Imagine Cup?
Well, first off, we really wanted to make a difference if we could, and preferably we want to make a difference that we could see locally, because we wanted our changes to be something that it's nice to say that we made a difference, but it's nice if we could see those changes happen around us. And we thought we could do that by making something that became popular and was helpful to our surroundings, and we really wanted to gain experience in this project. And so we had a project that we needed to do. We chose to do something that actually we thought would make a big difference, so we chose Imagine Cup, and that's really our starting direction.
So how is the university supporting your team's Imagine Cup research?
Well, they've provided us several things, and they've been very enthusiastic to help us, as this is a bit of a new direction for them, so that's been really good. So first off, we wanted to be able to live test our final product at the university, and that required us to go through several clearances through the ethics department, which they've allowed us to do and given us a lot of guidance to get through quickly. They provided us support for our upcoming beta in terms of legally as well, in terms of hosting our actual servers that will be doing this, to determining our end-user license agreement, which is a bit of a mess when it comes to legally deciding who's responsible for what goes on inside our application.
Daniel, what is the overall theme and goals of your Imagine Cup research?
So our theme is really on providing services, and we want to provide as many services as possible to individuals, and we want to do this efficiently by giving them something on their mobile as well as on the desktop that they can bring anywhere, to provide them basic things that otherwise we find that are hard to use or hard to find without kind of knowing where to look. And some examples is like knowing what day your recycling is. That's a really simple service, but sometimes it's very frustrating when you can't figure out what particular day that is. We want to add all those little things in one central place that is easy to find and maintain.
What are the wider implications of your project?
So if our project is a success at Carleton, or really even if it's not, we'll have to convince either cities or neighborhoods, or most likely property developers who are build large amounts of houses in a certain area, that our project would provide them something that they're truly lacking right now, and that it would work and that people would use it. So we'd have to go from there, and hopefully people would find it interesting.
Now, describe the overall design of your project.
So our overall design is essentially a central application that has several smaller applications within it, each one focused on targeting a specific service. So from our main app, you can decide what it is you're trying to get to, and you can very precisely go into what you're looking for.
Now, what are the world's tougher challenges that you want to help with your project?
So the first thing we'd like to address is increasing environmental awareness. We find that's an important point to get across. And we'd also like to provide relief to particular individuals who are struck by disaster, example, local fires or similar disasters or even larger disasters. We'd like a means for people to get in touch and start helping that individual as quickly as possible, or even groups of people. And we want to help combat hunger, which I think is largely an awareness issue, as well as a who do I need to help issue. So we'd like to provide that awareness and communications to help a lot of the different issues.
What role is each of your team members playing in the project?
Well, as we're also doing this project as our fourth year engineering project, we all have split essentially the same role. So everyone is taking part in the development. Everyone is taking part in business aspect, as well as the legal determining of how this is all going to be handled and the setup. So it's been fun, and it's been very diverse, because each of us has had to play a little bit of each role, and we've had to kind of explain back what we've done in each of those roles on paper. So we've all taken away a little bit of something different.
What impact do you see this having on Microsoft and then mobile and cloud development?
That's a great question. We're really hoping to add our mobile version as an application on the Microsoft Azure Cloud, and we're hoping that this app will get popular and will be hosted by Microsoft through us in the near future.
So how can we follow the progress of your work?
So currently we're about a week away, hopefully, give or take, on hosting our beta at Carleton. So once that's live, Carleton will be advertising how you can join the beta. Unfortunately, beta will be joining it itself will be restricted to Carleton students, but anyone will be able to view our work. So from the outside, you'll be able to view, but you will not be able to change any of the information that's being posted, just as a kind of a means of control for our first testing environment. And that will be up hopefully within a week. We're already a little bit behind schedule, but not expected.
Daniel, I want to get a sort of a better picture of what this app will feel like, or this, or is it a series of apps, you know, so like, what's the user experience going to be when I turn on my mobile device and I launch the app? What am I going to see, and how am I going to trigger things? And can you walk me through that?
Sure. So we want to make it very touch-friendly, and we want to make it very accessible. So whether you're someone who is very used to apps, or this is the first application you've ever downloaded, or you have a visual impairment, we want to make sure that you can access our app truly for everyone. So with that in mind, it's going to be a very simplistic design, simple menus to guide you through what you're going through, with maybe little bits of help text to help guide you through what you're looking for. And it's less, it's information driven instead of picture driven. So it's driven really by what it is you're looking for, and it should be very precise in terms of getting you there.
So what would be some of the menu options?
Okay, so our various applications that currently involve planning and joining events. So an event right now can be just about anything, but typically they're like city offered courses or Carleton offered lectures or things like that. So it allows you to mention that an upcoming event, or to indicate that you'd like to attend, and this way you can add it to your personal calendar and keep track of the events that you plan on attending. Another one is more of a public a board to post various things you're looking for in terms of if you're looking to do volunteer hours, you're looking to receive volunteer hours for a company, different things like that. If you know of a community event coming up that you're not in charge of, but you'd like to raise awareness. So all these things are various menu options you can access on your mobile.
Okay, now let's get to some broader questions. And Daniel, specifically about yourself, what triggered your interest in computer science or computer systems engineering?
I got into computers at a very early age, and during high school, I had a great teacher who got me through the intro learning stage, and I was hooked pretty much instantly. I've been working on programming since grade 9, and I've been very fond of it. So it was pretty much a no-brainer when it came to figure out what I wanted to do. I even took courses through night school through the summer so that I could fit all my tech classes in, as well as do all the required courses to get to university.
What triggered your interest in going to Carleton University?
I'm from Ottawa, and Carleton's a good known engineering school, so it was a clear choice for me. I was quite happy to go to Carleton.
Now, I've looked at your background. You've done a lot, you know, quite a number of remarkable things, and so let's get into some of those. Can you describe the 2011 IEEE Extreme Competition?
Yeah, the 2011 IEEE Extreme Competition was really awesome. So I've competed before, but I had a hard time finding people that were willing to compete with me at my school, mostly because of the timing. It happens to fall during our midterms, so that's always challenging. So it's a 24-hour programming competition that's held worldwide, and the questions are really awesome. I've always been a fan of programming competitions, and I've been doing it since grade 10 of high school locally, and then we went to the provincials here in Ontario, and competed in this year. We did quite well as a team. We were quite proud. We came second in Canada, which was awesome, which turns out to be 33rd worldwide, so it was a really good time.
Have you ever had an interest in the ACM counterpart? They also have a coding contest.
I haven't heard of it, but I think I will now. ACM?
Yeah, the ACM is the Association for Computing Machinery, and they're actually the world's largest educational scientific research nonprofit organization. So.
That sounds amazing and exactly like something I'd want to get into.
Yeah, most profs actually belong to the ACM because as the IEEE, but probably the ACM is the leader in this area, right? So.
Well, thanks for sharing that.
Now, can you profile your work in winning first place in the Carleton 2009 robotics competition and then first place in the Carleton 2010 software challenge?
Sure. So the robotics challenge involved making a maze-solving algorithm. They gave us one that was very inefficient, and it was really about optimizing it. So you had to take a small robot, which had a very basic stack-based solving a maze algorithm, and you had to make it better because it just did it very inefficiently. So we, with minor tweaks and some changes to the algorithm, we managed to make a better version, and that's what got us first place in the robotics competition. The software challenge was a relay-style programming competition, which was pretty cool. So you had three developers on three different computers working on three different problems. And every hour, you had to change chairs to the person next to you. You weren't allowed to, you were allowed to comment, but you weren't allowed to talk during this relay. So your code had to be written in a way that someone could pick it up, read it, know what's going on, and continue working on it in a reasonable time frame, because you each had an hour. So we ended up winning that competition with my two friends that also competed with me in the IEEE Extreme.
Now, what five goals do you want to achieve in your career?
Five goals. Well, I'd really like to get my PEng, so that's a starting point. I think eventually I'd like to start up my own company. But before that, I think I have interest in traveling and seeing different companies worldwide, as well as I just want to keep learning. I just want to keep doing what I'm doing so far and continuously progress through new knowledge and new technology.
Do you have some sort of burning passion, though, like discover the next this or that? Or
My interest has really fallen into software, and I'd really like to come up with something that that is truly helpful in day-to-day lives. So, yeah, I mean, if I can produce some software that people find useful, I'll be truly passionate about it. I always have ideas. We're always trying new things, always trying to come up with what could be cool, what could be interesting, what could be useful in the future, and hopefully one day I'll be in the right place at the right time to make it happen.
Then who do you admire out there that's in the software field?
I just went to a conference and I met so many individuals who were so good at what they did. It was inspiring. Wehner, my supervisor for this project, Gabriel Wehner, is by far one of my favorite programmers that I've met in recent years. He's inspired me a lot to continue doing what I'm doing and keep it up. And I followed some of his work and it was really awesome, which is why I got on board with him in this project.
Now, in all the things that you do, what do you find cool?
I love writing software, which I know sounds quite nerdy, but I truly do. I really like it when you have a tough problem. I like getting stuck because I find it very rewarding when you get unstuck. It's awesome, like when you program in competition and your solution just doesn't work. It's too slow, and then all of a sudden your mind clicks. And it's very fast, and you win. So that kind of thing is truly rewarding, even if you don't win, to figure it out later, to figure out how you could have done better. I love that. I think that's awesome.
Now, in all of the kind of work that you're doing and as a student and just from your sort of perspective, what innovation should we be watching for in the next 5 years?
I think we're going to see a change in the software that we currently use. So I think that the current leaders of how we spend our time is going to start changing with the internet. And I think our phones will provide even more. It sounds kind of crazy, but our phones will provide even more help for us in our day-to-day lives. And that's part of our inspiration for this project, is that we feel like this is the direction that the world is going, making your mobiles pretty much required in your day-to-day life. So we want to make sure that we can provide something that follows that flow of the desktops not being as important and your mobiles being everything and they're being so powerful they can do anything. So we want to add as much focus on getting those helping you as possible.
Now the next question is kind of I would say different in the sense that it takes a really sort of broader long-term view.
Okay.
And it's about your thoughts on computing as a recognized profession with demonstrated professional professional development, adherence to code of ethics, and recognized credentials.
Okay. So I think computing has, in certain views, is not viewed the same way, but I think it should be, because of software you write has implications beyond that of what people realize at first. The way people view an application is often like, oh, well, if that goes offline, if that's no longer usable, it's not really a big deal. But then when that actually happens, like we saw in recent days with the blackout on the internet, those applications actually do have impact on people, and people do notice when they go offline. And that's it's important for our day-to-day lives, too, if we're going to rely on these things for them to work. So I think that's why computing is truly a profession, because it has to be written professionally, and it should be recognized, and that it doesn't involve a code of ethics. So that's truly where, like, the computer engineering comes from, instead of just computer development.
This question is sort of going back to the project that you're working on, and if you can sort of close, and it's really the last question, can you sort of maybe profile some of your, or I would say all of your team members that are working on this Imagine Cup project?
Sure. So Joyce Elsaya is a fourth year CSE student who came to Canada and has been working with us for on a project. She's done a great job helping manage and organize what's going on within our project, because we have a tracking system. It's not always easy to know who's working on what. Mana Zargar is another developer who's been on our project, who's also been, we're all CSE students here, and she's been working mainly on different modules of our project. And lastly, is Rohit. Rohit Zaju is he's working mainly on the search engine behind our project. So to help increase accessibility, we've added search throughout. So he's working on that to help bring it all together. And then there's our supervisor, Gabriel Wehner, who's been helping in various ways. He's provided us several tools and helping us, give us some guidance, and keep us moving.
One of the things that I do in my travels is I talk to educators and I talk to people who set policy and education and so on, and they're always telling me that there's a real shortage of women in technology, or women in computing, or computing science, or computing software engineering and so on, and yet you have two women on your team. So how is that possible?
I think we're lucky, and I think it's a good balance. I think it provides two different aspects of the world. I think we see things slightly differently, which is great, because it allows our project to get both sides of that picture, which I think several applications might lack, because I think it's very true that women in computing hold a lesser percentage, right? There's just less of them. So the fact that we have two and two, I think, is a great way for us to split. We're going to get an even opinion, hopefully, on both on our application, and that'll help make our audience get a better appreciation from both sides.
Can you give an example where having the two women on your team has made a difference?
Sure. So everything we choose, from color schemes to the way that we approach people when we talk with them, they're different. The way we communicate is different. So when we go through certain processes, as well as, like, when we're going to our open beta. So during our open beta, we're going to ask people to join our application. The fact that we have a balance of guys and girls will help people feel more comfortable, not feel like we're asking for. We do require some information to join our beta, and I think we would have been at a disadvantage had we been four males, to convince people of an even distribution to join our beta. So I think it's really awesome that we do have a mix, because for a lot of people, we'll feel more comfortable with that, and it'll help us throughout our application.
Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to do this interview, and I know your schedule is demanding with your schoolwork in addition working on this project, so we are indeed fortunate to have you come in to do this interview, and thank you for sharing your award-winning research and experiences with our audience.
Well, thank you very much. It was my pleasure.
I'm Stephen Abraki, and this concludes our exclusive interview with Daniel LeBlond, award-winning Imagine Cup top student researcher at Carleton University.